Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively getting into the weekend here. The Cincinnati Reds are in with a new, I don't know if they're blistering or white hot Orioles, but certainly a couple of wins goes a long way. It's been since last year since they've strung two in a row together. Luke Jones joins us now. We did fashion tweets earlier in the week. We did pitching. We did the importance of hitting. We sassed them. We were fearful that they were going down a dark path. Last couple of nights, signs of life, certainly for the offense, and better pitching. Just better pitching is everything.
It's amazing how much easier the game feels when you score some runs early, as they were able to do once again. Gunnar Henderson hits his first home run of the season, and you get good starting pitching. I mean, Dean Kramer on Wednesday night gave them, what, 5 1/3 innings? And then Tomoyuki Sugano, this is the pitcher they signed for $13 million. And as much as you look at the age, as much as you look at pitching in Japan and understanding the Japanese league isn't the equivalent of the major leagues, it's also not low A ball either. I mean, you're talking about someone who has had an aptitude to pitch professionally for a very long time, and it's good to see it translate. Now, is he going to do this every time out? That's the big question. But as I said to you, coming off of his last start against Toronto, he's not going to wow you and blow you away with velocity and a ton of swing and miss, but there's a path for him to be successful. And if that path's there, it's for him to have really good command. He commanded the baseball very, very well on Thursday night. And that's going up against an offense that doesn't strike out a lot to begin with. So you have to be on point, but because they're going to make you work. And we saw this with Kramer. I mean, Kramer pitched well, but the one thing that you'd say is lots of foul balls. They drove up his pitch count, and he wasn't able to go beyond 5 1/3 innings. So for Sugano to go 7 innings on the pitch count that he had, which, maybe later in the season, you let him start the eighth inning even. That's how good and efficient he was. It was encouraging, and it was good to see. Doesn't mean everything's fixed. Doesn't mean that he's going to be an ace the rest of the year, but especially on the day we find out Grayson Rodriguez has been shut down again, and who knows what's going to happen there, but it's not good,
Well, I wasn't
obviously.
counting on him, right? I mean, were you?
I mean, counting on him, sure, in the sense that you're not going to just write someone off, that they're not going to pitch again this year, but in terms of counting on him in the way that you frame it in the offseason when Corbin Burns departs and
Oh,
all
I
of that,
understand that.
sure,
I'm just saying, once
sure.
the trouble started back in March,
I mean,
I was of the
you don't just,
mindset that this might not go well. And then they
I
went
mean,
out and got
might's,
Gibson too, right?
right, might's a different word. I mean, I never, ever want to make it a fait accompli that a pitcher's undergoing surgery, whether it's Tommy John or something related to the shoulder or whatever. But yeah, you have doubts, of course, when he hasn't been able to stay healthy now 3 of the last 4 years. I mean, that's just the reality for him. So on
I'm
a
just
day,
saying, as a guy that evaluates this every day, I'm not looking at him as Calvary over the hill
no.
anytime this week. I wasn't like, they'll be fine when Rodriguez gets back, because
Oh, sure. Of course.
in my mind, I'm like, he's gone. He's gone. He's as gone as John Means until I hear from him. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like, he's just, and I didn't feel like there was any sign that he was absolutely going to contribute this year. So when I evaluate the team as they're in trouble, that was before I thought they were in trouble, because I didn't know when he was coming back. Now they're in worse trouble because he is that 1-2 guy that it doesn't feel like it's going to happen this year.
yeah, and again, I mean, regardless of your level of optimism or any of that, or lack thereof, until he's out there, until he's going on a rehab assignment, all of that, yeah, it does kind of feel. Now, I said to someone in the press box, and then I want to get back to Sugano because there are a lot of positives to take away from Thursday night's win and a series win and back-to-back wins. But I said to someone in the press box as after Brandon Hyde made the announcement, and you start to say, man, now it's feeling more and more likely that Kyle Bradish has the better chance to contribute to the 2025 Orioles than Grayson Rodriguez. And Bradish still, of course, has a long way to go. It's just he's on the other side of surgery. And I don't want to suggest that Grayson's getting surgery. I mean, this is shoulder soreness. We're going to see what the MRI looks like. I mean, is it another lat issue? Or at this point now, when you think about this, He's had multiple lat issues. Had the elbow inflammation back in spring training, although that was more tied to the triceps rather than concern about a UCL sprain. And now shoulder, you're almost getting to the point, Nestor, where you'd like to identify what's causing all this, right? And instead of just being in this limbo where, okay, he's pitching and then he's sidelined and then he comes back. And you know what I mean? Like you get to a point where you almost want to identify something that, and maybe it can be corrected with the procedure. And it doesn't mean it's a catastrophic, kind of injury. But when you're talking about surgery for a pitcher and surgery for a pitcher's arm, that's hardly ever a swift return timetable. So again, yeah, you're kind of looking at this and it's disappointing. You feel frustrated for him. But at the same time, I think about this and look, I've been critical of Mike Elias and their philosophy, their approach with their starting pitching, their rotation, all that. But I also think back to where the Orioles were 2 years ago. Kyle Bradish and Grayson Rodriguez started games 1 and 2 against the Rangers. Now, it didn't go well, although Bradish pitched fairly well in that game. It's not like he got bombed. But you think about that and you think about what's happened with their two extremely talented, successful pitchers from that 2023 season, Bradish all year and Grayson Rodriguez the second half. And they haven't had those guys really since then. I mean, they've had Grayson for 3.5 months of last season. Bradish pitched what, 8 starts last year.
I'm
So
even looking at the output. Like I had
it's
never really
tough.
looked at Rodriguez's stats. He's made 43 starts. He's got a 4.1 ERA, 20-8 overall, 4.11 ERA, 238 hits, 230 hit, 38 innings, 230 hits. Like he's given up 31 home runs, 15 home runs in 20 starts, 16 home runs, 23 starts. Like I think of him more as a savior on potentiality. But if that came back into the rotation right now at a four, he's still a three starter and in the modern parlance of the game that we always felt like could be an ace, could be an ace, could be an ace, could be, could be an ace and Corbin Burns, two different things.
Sure, of course. And I'm not sitting here saying that he was going to win the Cy Young this year if he were healthy. But I'd also say, even with those career numbers, you need to keep in mind how bad his first 10 starts were as a rookie. He had a 7.35 ERA. I mean, he got sent back to Norfolk at that point. So take those
He
10
had arm
starts.
problems, didn't he? Didn't he had
No, not at that point. No, he wasn't pitching well.
Fair
2023 is
enough.
the out of the last 4 seasons now, including this season, 23 is the 1 year he stayed healthy. He was sent down because of poor performance. So if you take those 10 starts away, they count, of course, but you look at his body of work since then, it's much more in line with trending.
Well, that's why he got the ball in
Sure.
Arlington the night we were there.
Well, he got the ball in game two. What, Kramer got it in game three,
Three.
but
I'm
right. It's
okay.
okay. It was a
Sure.
couple of years ago and it was a painful memory, right? I mean, I think everyone wants to forget about the details with that, but the point is
I don't remember. I wasn't in the clubhouse.
at that point in time, you had that 1-2 punch. And then whether the Orioles were prompted by the Bradish issue that had crept up before the start of spring training, they pulled the trigger in getting Corbin Burns. And if you're an Orioles fan, you're thinking, wow, that's your top three. We were thinking that in February of 2024. And you see how it's played out since then. It hurts. It's a bummer, right? I mean, it's something that it's not what Mike Elias had in mind a year and a half ago. So, but you have to move on. And what they got from Sagano on Thursday night, I'm not saying he's going to do that every time out, but it is encouraging to see that that's there, that there's a capability to that. We've been talking about this. We were talking about this the other day with Charlie Morton and how bad that's looked and how you really can pinpoint the absence of a curveball that was an elite pitch for him, his best pitch, and now suddenly it's his worst pitch. And whether you're 41, 35, or 28, that's going to make for major problems for any pitcher when you go from your bread and butter to suddenly being that's a nightmare for you. It's going to be tough to be successful. So I'm not saying he's going to figure that out, but you can at least understand, yeah, that's kind of what he's working on right now to try to get back to. But in the case of Sagano, fastball command was good. he got enough swing and miss. I think early on, first inning, he got some swing and miss. I think that helped him. As I said, it helps that Gunnar Henderson hits a home run and you get an early lead. Yeah, he gave up the two solo shots back to back, so that was disappointing. But other than that, I mean, he was really good. And you see how he can keep a lineup off balance by the fact that he has five or six pitches that he's going to throw pretty consistently, too. A lot of times when you talk about a pitcher with five or six pitches,
Two good
kind of
pitches.
he leans on two or three, and then the other offerings are more show me, someone will dump in a curveball now and then, things like that. But you kind of look at it, at his mix. I mean, he throws all those pitches, and not all of them are, some are better than others, but he threw each of his six pitches at least eight times. So he's someone who has a wide variety. The split, I thought his fastball was good.
Well, the word deceptive is what it needs. Pitching has to be deceptive, right? Like in a general sense, unless you're 102 and just overpowering everyone and max effort and all that. The old schoolers would say it's their team throwing and pitching, right? He knows how to pitch. He's 35 years old, right? And he's got an arsenal. Now, whether it translates to getting guys out and what you talked about was just the strike zone, the count. The count is important for him.
And what's actually funny about this, and it didn't really feel that way watching it in real time, but he actually wasn't great from a first pitch strike standpoint. I mean, he was 10 of 25, but yet he still didn't walk anybody. So it speaks to even falling behind 1-0 a little more than you'd like.
He's making him swing on pitch
He
two.
was able to get back into the count, and it wasn't a whole lot of the two home runs aside. There were only a couple other balls that really felt like, okay, they squared that up. He was kind of lucky there. Holiday caught a line drive at one point. There were a couple hard ground balls at Mountcastle. I don't want to completely say it was all soft contact. The point is, he looked like a pitcher who absolutely belonged, looked like a legitimate major league starter, and that was good to see. Again, is he going to give you seven innings every time out? No, because very few pitchers in baseball do that anymore. But it was good to see that, and especially at a time where their rotation has been so bad and it's ravaged by injuries.
Just give me a good start, man.
Sure, he gave them every chance to win, and then in turn, because of what I've been talking about, they swung the bats. And Ryan O'Hearn hits the big three-run homer to bail out a terrible blunder on the bases by Ramon Arias, not getting a great read on the Henderson double and also getting picked off at third base. So it was
Well,
good to see
Holiday got
that.
thrown out, stolen,
Yeah, I
stealing
mean,
too.
they still they're still doing too much of that. And that was the one thing from Thursday night's game where I'd say, okay, it wasn't a complete performance because they made a couple mistakes on the bases like that. At the same time, they swung that hit with some power. Weather was a little bit warmer on Thursday night than it was Wednesday night. They
You're
got that.
skipping a game on Saturday. It's going to be 80
I know,
degrees,
right?
So
Exactly. WrestleMania, jeez,
indoor wrestling.
But no, it was good to see. It's good to get back-to-back wins. They swung the bats. They got great pitching from Sagano. The bullpen came in and did what they needed to do. And Batista, he's you'd rather see him not pitch into trouble, but I've been encouraged by the way that he's been able to pitch out of trouble then, right? Gets two strikeouts then to end the game. I mean, it's not completely vintage Felix Batista, but it's at least trending in the right direction, right? The fastball's been, he was hitting 98. If he can at least sustain that, it's not as though he threw 102 every single time he went out there. So, but if he can be sustain in the high 90s with a split that's getting some swing and miss, mixing in a slider every now and then, he'll be fine,
Just get
right?
three
And
outs, man.
yeah,
He's capable of that.
exactly. So, it wasn't, I don't want to sit here and say, it was a wasn't one like it was a one run save, but it was kind of the cherry on top for what was a good night on from a pitching standpoint. And they're not 100% fine, and that doesn't mean everything's fixed, but it's good to win a series, good to win back to back games, and a reminder that it's still very early. And if this rotation can get a little more traction, it's not that it's going to be great, not that it's even going to be good, or even I don't know if it's going to be much better than mediocre. That might be the ceiling right now is mediocrity. But that would sure beat being dead last by a wide margin the way they were earlier this week, and the way they kind of, they're hovering in that very bottom of the league territory. So, you'll take the good starts when you can get them, and they find a way to win a series, which was good to see with the way this thing had been trending.
And here come the Cincinnati Reds just in time this weekend for good weather. Plenty of good seats available. Katie Griggs told me. Great pitcher coming in. One of the games, sort of, we have our Gunnar Henderson's. We're spoiled with the riches of Gunnar Henderson and the potential of Jackson Holliday and all that. Elly De La Cruz, another guy that ain't gotten off to a great start, knocking in runs and whatnot, but I don't know that they're a very good team, but certainly. The Orioles are going to see them for three games this weekend, and we don't see a lot of the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, and I mean, you just said it. Elly De La Cruz is, one of the most talented players in the league. I mean, he's another one of those genetic freaks. In the same way you talk about Gunnar Henderson, the size he has playing shortstop. I mean, Elly De La Cruz is 6'5", 200 pounds listed, and runs like a deer. Has power. I mean, does everything. And to your point, he's not off to an extraordinary start by any means, but still does have 18 RBIs.
I was going to
Not that.
say he's on a pace to knock in
I mean,
140
he's
runs.
and
So, like, I'm like, okay.
but that also speaks to how the rest of their lineup's getting on base, that he's able to drive in some runs. But extremely talented player. When you're talking about a matchup like this, it's just like when the Orioles and the Royals play, where you have Bobby Witt and Gunnar Henderson. I mean, you're talking about two of the bright stars in the game. So Elly De La Cruz in that lineup, and on Saturday, I lament that I won't be there to see it in person, but I'll certainly be keeping an eye on it, watching on TV. But Hunter Green, I mean, he might be the best pitcher in baseball right now. He's been phenomenal to start the year, and he's another one of those guys that you just look at, any team looks at and said, "Man, I'd love to have him." He's 25 years old. I think he'll be 26 later this year, but his first four starts, 0.98 ERA, 27 and two-thirds innings, 31 strikeouts. He has a whip that's just over a little over 0.5. I mean, he's been nothing short of brilliant through his first four starts. And this is a kid who was an all-star last year. Had a 2.75 ERA last year in 150 innings. So they'll have
Well, we
their
hear about
hands.
Skeens, and where's the young pitching coming
I
from?
mean, he's right there
Skubal,
with. Yeah, he's right there with the very best in baseball. I mean, gonna have a heck of a chance to win a Cy Young this year if he can stay healthy and just continue to do really what he started doing last year to a more consistent degree. And but he's been fantastic. So they're gonna have their work cut out for them, and even Sunday starter for them, Nick Lodolo. He's not the same kind of blow you away with amazing stuff kind of pitcher, but hey, he's off to a good start, and he's been their number two. So the Orioles, they got to swing the bats this weekend, and
Well, they'll hold those David Rubenstein bobbleheads up for Hunter Green on Saturday. So 80 degrees, three bobbleheads, everyone gets a hat.
I will say, did you see the other weekend giveaway though? The hockey jersey
Hockey jersey,
with
yeah.
the angry bird on it. You know me, Nestor. I'm not a big hockey guy. That's one of the better giveaways they've done. It's pretty sweet. I have it in my house, but I don't have it sitting right here with me. That I'd show it to. It's pretty sharp. It's pretty cool, especially as Stanley Cup playoffs are getting underway. That I thought that was one of the more creative, better giveaways as it pertains to a shirt, right? I mean, everyone loves the bobbleheads. People like the Hawaiian shirts they do every year, but as it pertains to, rather than just a regular old, Orioles t-shirt of some sort, the hockey jersey, it's pretty sleek. It's pretty cool.
Luke Jones will be getting hockey jerseys, getting WrestleMania, and hopefully getting nice treats on Easter with his nieces. It is Easter weekend and Good Friday. I'm not going to belabor this, especially when you have wrestling to watch and people have baseball to come and get and all that. But we have a draft next week. We had a big show over at Beaumont on Thursday. Had Chad Wiesling out. We did an hour of draft talk with a legit NFL agent about his players and the state of the game. Also, John Allen came out from, I keep saying Stone Horses and Charm City Devils. It's child's play. It's 40 years ago. They're playing at M3. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, former Councilman Tom Quirk came out and gave me some tariff relief as well. Just on the hitting side and the lineup and where you are with all of this and the pitching itself, pitching solutions and bullpen and all that, things have calmed down the last couple of days for the Orioles, at least in that front. But the Rodriguez news, while again, I'm not I didn't have him penciled in
Sure.
July or August. In my mind, he wasn't coming back until I can see him. They're starting to talk about
Fair.
Bradish now, so you and I are starting to talk about it. Now, whether we see it or not, that pathway will be into May, into June. Is he throwing the ball? Where is he? I'm still concerned about their pitching, and but I am heartened by the bullpen. I mean, now that we're 3 weeks into it, I start to get a body of work, and I start to see how they're lining guys up. And I don't think Soto or Dominguez, any of these guys, can be perfect in any way. Jacob Webb wasn't perfect. I mean, nobody's been perfect around here, but an awakening of the bats, decent starting pitching, a couple of nights in a row, it changes the mood from 4 games under .500.
No question. And it's why we were, you try to keep proper perspective. And, but they didn't, they're not like the Rockies right now in the NL West. I mean, go look at the standings there. And of course, Colorado was supposed to be bad. No one had any expectations, but
Aren't
they've
they
gotten,
always bad? I mean, that's the thing about baseball,
they are. But my point with that is it's not as though the Orioles got off to a start like that. We're not talking about how they started in 1988 or even 2010. I mean, the Rockies right now, and part of that is also the rest of the NL West is really good. Arizona's in fourth place and they're 12-7. I mean, put that in perspective
Well,
for
they
you.
all spent $1 billion in that
Sure.
division.
But the Rockies, they're 3-15. They are already 11 and a half games out. I mean, it's over. I mean, regardless of they never had expectations to begin with. So the point with what I'm ma what the point I'm making here is it's still early. Mathematically speaking, they're still fine,
Dude,
perfectly
we were
fine.
Oriole fans, dude. We were 3-15 every year. We know what it's like to be out of it this time of year. It sucks. And we know what it feels like to be in it. We're in it. It's
Sure.
just, do they have the
They've got to
horses
be
for the
better.
courses, really?
Yeah. I mean, they've got to be better. There's no question about that. And they knew that. And they still have to be better. Just because you win a series, no one's suggesting everything's fine. It's not. But to your point, the offense has come alive. That's been good to see. The back-to-back games, 5+ runs, you'll take that. That's much more representative of the kind of offense everyone expected this to be. You're not going to score 10 every night. I'm not suggesting that. But you can't have this where you score eight and then your offense sleepwalks the next 4 games, right? I mean, that's at the first couple of weeks of the season that we've seen too much of that. So it's good to see that be more consistent. I think an interesting change that I didn't mention, but Cedric Mullins moving into the leadoff spot, Gunnar Henderson dropping to the two spot. Brandon Hyde, anytime there's a change like that, he very much downplays it. However, I thought it was notable in the post game that he made the point that, yeah, it's really nice to have someone get on base for Gunner. And Mullins, to this point, I think has one more walk than strikeout, which in this day and age is a very rare feat. I don't expect him to continue at that clip, but he's been getting on base. Obviously, he's produced himself. But if Cedric Mullins continues to play at he's not going to continue to do this. He's not going to have a
Can
thousand
I just say
OPS,
out loud that
but
he's healthy now and maybe he
he's
wasn't
healthy.
healthy for a long time?
Well, that's one thing that Brandon Hyde's talked about. And Mullins even talked about this. He talked about his offseason a little bit. He kind of recognized, hey, I need my legs need to be stronger. And it's not that doesn't mean he goes crazy doing squats and all that, but he was more deliberate in training his legs. And I think he was more deliberate. And part of this is, hey, this guy's in a contract year, whether it's the Orioles or one of the other 29 teams, he wants to stay healthy. He wants to play
It can't be
150.
said for these players at this point in their lives in baseball where you can go get a $60 or $70 million contract as opposed to being a walk free agent that's trying to catch on and get a couple million. Not that that's we would take that money,
Sure.
but I just think from a financial standpoint, when you're in that position, and we talk about these pitchers' arms falling off all the time, breaks my heart, right? Like
Sure,
just for
it's
Bradish
terrible.
and Bautista and all these guys that were on the
Bad for the
cusp of.
game.
And it's just not good, especially for the money they're charging us to go down there and see it play. We want everyone to stay healthy. We want the best version of everything because they're getting our best money. We're not getting a discount when they're no good. So I would just say they want to maximize their money. I saw earlier in the week, Sugano got this and Morton got that, and they pissed away all this money, $50 million worth of pitcher, if you include last year with Kimbrel, that
Sure.
hasn't worked out. And you're saying, well. Are they, what are they doing with their money? the Mullins thing and Mountcastle to some degree, because they're still here and Santander and Austin Hayes are gone. We were always wondering who was going to be on the boat, who was going to be off the boat. Ryan O'Hearn came in the side and, you certainly need him, right? But Mullins was a guy that I think, and I know we talked about this earlier week, we always felt like there was some expendableness in him and that he would be too expensive at some point because he was that 30-30 guy and probably never live up to that again if there were a contract. And I don't think we talked enough about how that he wasn't healthy enough, and Hayes too, to some degree, was always sort of a little banged up, but Mullins always had the ceiling of being third, of the speed part of this and the great defense part of this to remind all of us of the great center fielders, the Al Bunburys and the people we've seen around here to say, is he going to make it? Is he going to get paid here? Is he going to get a contract here? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, Kerstad's hitting the ball now, right?
Yeah, and look, I mean, we're a long way from changing my outlook on Cedric Mullins long term, but this version, that's why I made the point that they moved him back into the leadoff spot on Thursday night. And I'm not so sure you won't see that, at least for the time being. Now, if he goes through, we also know Mullins has been very up and down at the plate the last couple of years. He's had some stretches where he's looked very similar to this, but then it's followed by looking pretty bad for 6 weeks. So you always want to remember that. But as I pointed out, he's talked about it. He was a little more deliberate this year in terms of his legs being healthy. And at the very least, and look, is he going to continue with a 600 slug and a 1043 OPS? No, not going to have a 440 on base percentage the way he does right now. But if you can get something in between that and thinking about what he was in 2021 compared to what he's been the last couple of years, that'll play to keep him in the leadoff spot. And then you can shift Gunner down to the number two spot. You can drop Rutschman in the order a little bit more. And I think you have the potential to have more power, more run production from Gunnar Henderson, who is still your best player when it's all said and done.
Well, the whole notion of how the game's changed, my dad, your dad, we'd have a hard time explaining to them why the cleanup hitter's batting first. Like the lineups, Earl Weaver would come back and say, "What the hell are you doing? Mullins runs like a deer. You bat him first. You leave him the hell alone." Like that's old baseball to me. Mullins is a leadoff hitter when he's hitting. When he's not hitting, he's a 7 or 8 hitter. If he's gonna hit 230, if he's gonna hit 230, I don't want him here. I mean, I don't even want him 7th or 8th. His defenses and all that we don't have all these young guns, which is what we were talking about last year, and
Sure.
saying,
Well,
can we better that production? Can we make it better? And I don't, right now, it's like, it ain't gonna get any better than it is right now with Mullins. This is outrageously productive for a
no
couple of
doubt.
weeks.
And it's not even so much about his home runs and RBIs. It's the fact, I mean, he's got a 443 on base percentage. I mean, that's really what you want for the leadoff spot. You want someone like that. And it's funny you mentioned lineup construction. I mean, Aaron Judge, look how frequently he's hitting the second spot in the order, because analytics have kind of told us, you want your best hitter in the number two spot, which is not at all how people thought about lineup construction.
That Billy Ripken second, he can bunt over Bunbury,
Yeah,
like, I mean, whatever. I mean,
exactly. That
that was
station to
always,
station thing. Which, don't get me wrong, that
number two hitter's got to handle the bat. You can't have him strike out. You got to put the
there can
ball in
still
play, except when he hits it to double plays.
right. There can still be a place for that kind of style of ball, but that's not what you're really looking for from the top of your order,
I think
in
the
this day and
audience
age.
loves when I play the old guy,
So,
the
it's
old get off
okay.
my lawn guy,
Hey, like I said, there is still a place for the sacrifice bunt in baseball. It's just not nearly as often as some people will have you believe.
Put the hit and run on. Put the hit and run on, Luke.
Right. But no, I think with the way Mullins has played, I mean, it's been, I mean, you mentioned him as well. I mean, Mullins and O'Hearn have been their best hitters so far this year. And throw Tyler O'Neill in there as well, even though he's a little banged up right now. But while they've been waiting for Henderson to come back from the IL and to get going, he had two hits, hit a home run on it's coming. As I said to you, he's been hitting the ball hard a lot. He's hit into some tough luck as well. But Gunnar Henderson's the least of my concerns when it comes to this ball club. But Mullins, to your point, I think there's
Rutschman's hitting
been
212. Westberg's hitting 183. I'm just going through this. Holiday's hitting 222.
Yeah, I mean,
Henderson's only
it's
hitting 240. But Kerstad's hitting 230 and hit one. But like,
this is why you've heard me banging on the hitting so
here we
much. I've
go.
said, like, hey, this is supposed to be the strength. So, but also recognizing there are ebbs and flows to a season, and you're going to go through times where you're going to scuffle. And that's why it's been so huge for them that Mullins and O'Hearn have done what they've done, even if they cool off, and they will, Ryan O'Hearn's not going to hit 326 all season, but this is what you need. You're going to have guys that go through hot stretches, and you're going to have guys that are going to slump for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. So you're hoping that at a minimum, you have at least a handful of guys that are hitting at all times, and you can kind of get through it. So it hasn't been a good start. 8-10 is nothing to write home about, obviously, and they've got to be better. And certainly the pitching needs to be better, even the rotation, even if the expectations aren't terribly high. Can you not be dead last in the majors? That, I don't think that's too much to ask. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Momentum's only as good as the next day's starting pitcher, but they need to hit. So it's been good to see them start to score some runs here a little more consistently of late. Tuesday aside, most of this homestand, they've swung the bats better than we had seen. So they're going to need more of that because, like I said, I mean, Cincinnati's coming in. Even if you don't think about a ton of them overall as a club, but keep in mind, but Tito Francona, they. Yep, you don't hire a manager like that thinking your team's just gonna lay down and be
I don't think he takes a job like that if he didn't think he could win.
exactly. So this is certainly a team that if you don't play well, they'll hurt your feelings this weekend. And like I said, Hunter Green especially is just, I mean, heck of a pitcher. So they're gonna have their hands full on Saturday. But the same goal is what it always needs to be, even when you're off to a rocky start and you're looking in the standings in your fourth place and. The Yankees are playing way better now, but just win series, win two out of three, win two out of three. You do that, you compartmentalize that objective, and if you can continue to start to do that, not continue, they just did it for the first time all year. But if you can do that more frequently, they'll be in a position where they're staying in it, and then even if it's not Grayson Rodriguez at this point, you'll get Eflin back. You'll start to get some of these guys back here. Next month, into the latter portion of May and June. And, then we'll see about Bradish the second half of the season. You'll see about Tyler Wells the second half of the season. Long way to go for those guys. I don't want me bringing up Bradish doesn't mean I'm sitting here 100% saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be their ace come August. I mean, who knows? But it's at least trending well. And, but they've got to win games in the meantime for any of that stuff to matter. You can't fall off the mountain here. In late April. And so that's where it was good to see them win two out of three against Cleveland after the way things have been going and how badly everyone's been feeling about this club of late.
Cincinnati Reds are in town all weekend. Then the Washington Nationals. We're going to be at Cooper's Pub on Wednesday. I do have the brand new Back to the Future scratch-offs. I gave away a few lucky ones out at Beaumont the other day as well. And just been a great week of radio around here. Beano Ranson last week from Costas. I had John Allen as well as my NFL agent buddy Chad Wiesling joined me and former councilman Tom Quirk. So we did football. We did rock and roll. We did baseball because Wiesling's a huge Oriole fan. We did politics. We did tariffs. And then this weekend, I mean, it's like on Sunday, we got Easter, Oriole baseball, WrestleMania, 420, and the last Cheech and Chong movie. So if the apocalypse doesn't hit on Sunday, we'll be back here on Monday to document all things Oriole baseball over the weekend. It's also NFL draft week next week. Luke will be out at the complex eating free wingdings or whatever they give him that they didn't give him last week. I hope they have the ravioli left over for your benefit here. I hope everybody has a great weekend. Enjoy the 80 degrees. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy our programming. We're out at Baltimore Positive doing it around the clock.